This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Noon, welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to be with you on a Wednesday afternoon, talking sports with you right here on AM 870 WKAR. So we'll talk a lot of sports, a lot of Detroit Lions football. As you know, they'll start training camp starting tomorrow, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Big Ten meetings, which will be taking place starting tomorrow in Chicago, and that's going to be pretty active, you know, with the Big Ten meetings. A lot of talk, of course, will center around Penn State. The coach will be there, so you'll get here. Opening statements. We'll try to pick up a little of that for you tomorrow. So we'll have that for you. And a lot of those things with the Big Ten meetings going on, Michigan State will both be there, of course, and all the other teams in the Big Ten. And we'll see how Ohio State and Penn State is going to handle. I mean, Ohio State still got their suspensions, but, you know, you'll get the chance to hear from Urban Meyer and hear what his recommendations are going to be, how Ohio State hopes to handle their problems, and what he hopes to gain this 1 year before next year they'll be eligible for bowl games again. And then, of course, Penn State for the next 4 years, of course. So it'll be interesting just to see what those coaches have to say about their programs and as they look ahead and get ready for this season and the seasons beyond. So give us a call. Talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. Our producer is Aaron Young, and we'll talk a little bit with Aaron during this next hour. So just come on the phone and jump in the water, as they say, and join the swim. It's nice and cool in here, and hopefully it'll stay cool on the outside. That's for sure. Nice cool day this morning. Starting to warm up a little bit, but we'll leave that alone. And with the weather and going on, but a lot of things going on in the world of sports. Let me tell you, one of the things with the Detroit Lions is they cut Scott Gabreth got cut, as they, I mean, they signed Scott Foster, and he was signed, and they released Gilbreth. So that's a little bit of movement there on with the Lions, and you're going to see a lot of movement there as the players are cut and released in the next month. And the Lions cut another player who had some legal problems, so he was get put on waivers. So Gabreth will, you won't hear from him. And of course, Aaron Berry's been cut. If they both get picked up, I'm waiting and wondering what will happen with them, because we know another team will probably pick them up. So what will Roger Goodell do? How much long will the suspension get from them? So that'll be interesting to see. Do they get the same kind of a suspension that everybody else gets, or will it just be temporarily a suspension? So that'll be something that we'll just have to look at as well. I know some of you had heard about Dez Bryant, who attempted to assault his mother. She has said she's not going to press charges against him, and she's standing with him, just saying it was basically a family argument, a disagreement. So they're going to try to contain that and try not to, hopefully nothing else comes of it, because it could definitely have an impact on Brian's career. So we'll hear more about that, that's for sure. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Victor from Lions. Victor, how you doing, buddy?
Top of the afternoon to you. It's too warm out there.
Yeah, it is. It's warm, but it's not too bad here, but it's starting to get a little bit warmer.
Yeah, we got a little rain here in Lions a little earlier, and I got caught in it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Well, yeah. Anyway, I was not happy about that Tiger loss last night.
Okay, yeah, 3-2, and they had a little trouble dealing with with all those lefties in their lineup. In Cleveland's lineup. So, and the Tigers had trouble because they had to play just all those the opposite sides in their lineups. But you know what happens? I mean, it was a 3-2 loss, so it wasn't a bad loss.
No, but as far it, you know, because Cleveland has won like 6 out of the 7 meetings so far this year against Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and mm-hmm. I mean, they're all professionals. Don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just that was a game I thought Detroit had to have, but you know, they're on this 9-game road trip.
Yep,
and they have to go at least 6-3.
Mm-hmm. That's a good chance.
You know, I mean, hopefully, but I mean, they can't do any worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got that long homestand, which might work in their favor, but
oh yeah,
they really need to come off this road trip and get that momentum back they had before last night's game.
Yeah, and they have a good chance. I mean, when you have the 6 game that they just had, and they won the majority of those, I expect they'll do quite well because the team is starting to play well now, and that's the key. They're really starting to hit well, and they're really starting to field well. I mean, they got an all-around game going right now, so I'm not ready to hit the panic button as of yet because they're still playing well. If they start playing poorly, then we might have to start worrying about it.
One more quick question. I know you're busy. You got other topics to talk about, but are you still exploring the possibility of doing a show on athletics for the disabled?
Oh, yes, we'll do that. I know I'm taking a few days off, so we'll be exploring that, you know, sometime next month or the following month.
Well, you know, I'll be listening, and if I can figure out a way to get a heads up on when you're actually going to do that show, you know I'll be tuned in.
Okie dokie.
Hey, you have a wonderful day, great weekend, and enjoy your vacation.
Hey, thank you, Victor. Yep, bye-bye. And that's our good friend Victor from Lyons calling up, talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And when you look at the, you know, some of the things going on, I mean, Michigan picked up a 4-star athlete, cornerback Douglas, who was opting out of his in the wake of the Penn State penalties. He decided not to go to Penn State. He's going over to Michigan now. So congratulations. That's one player that's changed his mind, decided not to go to Penn State. And I'm assuming there'll be others, and there'll be probably a few of them will try to leave as soon as they can. But it looks like right now that the majority of them will stay and go in honor of their commitments to Penn State. But, you know, there will be some who will leave, no doubt about that. So we'll see about those and how many of those decide to leave and not to honor their commitments to Penn State. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527, toll free. 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Aaron, let's talk a little bit of baseball today. I know there's not a lot in your sport of golf going on right now, but there'll be something coming up. What's the big tournament this weekend coming up for?
Honestly, I'm not sure what the tournament is this weekend. Coming out of the open like that, I'm not sure what the tournament is, so I have to get back with you on that one. But yeah, I mean, we can talk about baseball and, you know, training camp. I'm reading the article right here on on ESPN. What they're watching out for the camp. So that's interesting to coming up.
Yeah, the training camps will be opening up most of them will open up tomorrow, and we'll see. A few of them will open up today, but it'll be interesting to see what they do and some of the players. You know, every team has so many players, so that's the thing that players really need to be aware of. I mean, there are so many players on everybody's roster. You can't get in any trouble. I mean, you get in some trouble, it's more easier for them to cut you now than it ever was. So, you know, you lose a salary. You may not get a chance to get back in the league. It'll be very interesting. A lot of guys do get second chances. I mean, Roger Goodell is going to probably give them a fine or put down some kind of penalties. So, you know, that's the thing. So you will just have to see about that and what happens with them that's going on in training camp. And a lot of guys are going to be fighting for jobs, of course. A lot of guys will be fighting for jobs. And some guys, you would think, depending on which camp you decide to go to, if you were at one team, you might be able to get a job pretty well. But then if you go to a team that's maybe pretty well loaded in a certain position, that might, you know, tendency to hurt you. So, you know, you better be careful with who you sign with and figure out which camp you're going to go into. But that's just part of football. I mean, there's always going to be competition. I think that's one thing. You should never shy away from competition, Aaron, because every team has someone battling, and you're not going to go in any camp where you're the only player or just maybe one of two players, maybe three players. They're going to have four or five players almost in training camp at your position. So you have to be aware because you're going to have to beat those guys out, and then, of course, beating the other guys out, because I don't know about you, Aaron. I've seen so many times where a guy, he relaxes. He's made the cut. He's made the final cut. And I've seen that first week, thinks he's ready for the game, and then a guy gets cut from another team who's really good, they think more highly of than you, and he's in and you're gone, and you thought you had the team made. And that does happen from time to time, because football is definitely a very cutthroat business.
Yeah, no, I agree with most of those points. Unless your name's Jason Hansen, then you're probably not really
in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you can probably sit back and sit on the couch for a while, but... Yeah, no, those are excellent points. I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to be the Detroit Lions, some of those players that kind of got in trouble in the offseason.
Yes.
I wouldn't want them going into the camp right now. Wouldn't want to be them, because I got a feeling that Schwartz is going to be giving them a little extra duty to do, he's probably going to be on their butt a little bit more than some of the other players. So, and I was reading, too, that looks like Best is hoping to be cleared to have contact during the camp. You know, his concussion is still, the way the concussions now are days, you know, they got to make sure that, you know, he's ready to go. So hopefully he's going to be cleared. And they're sure, I know he had a torn Achilles, but it looks like he's 100%, so he should be good to go, though. So those two guys can get back into normal form. That should be a duo that will be definitely fun to watch coming into this season. But, yeah, you're right. You know, you never want to have your position. You never want to ease off.
You really don't.
Even if you know that there's guys below you that aren't as good, and even if you gave it a 80 or 90%, you'd probably still make the team. You always want to give 100%, because you're right. There could be another guy from another team for whatever reason. They just let him go. You know, could be multiple reasons, and then swoops right in and takes your position, and then you're sitting on the bench. So, you know, that's how the business is, but that's why you always give 100%.
No, that's for sure. You should do that all the time, no matter whether you're in high school, college, or the pros. You always should give 100% just because you're the big star. We've seen this in high school so many times. And that's what I see and hear about. When you talk to high school athletes, it's funny. Most of them think that they're going to be just as good as they are in high school, and that works in college. And they haven't really found out that, hey, what you did in high school has no consequence to what you need to do in college. You have to be better than what you were in high school. You have to work harder. You have to, you know, really work 3-4 times as hard as you did in high school. And a lot of players just don't realize how much more difficult it is when you're making that transition from high school to college. And they're going to learn that quick, fast, and in a hurry, Aaron.
Yeah, that's always the problem, too, you know. And, yeah, you got to work 3-4 times harder. And, you know, in high school, you're playing guys that aren't as strong, aren't as big. And then you get to college, and you're like, oh, they can lift 100,000 more pounds. Or, oh, that guy is 10 feet taller than me. Sure, okay, I better work 3-4 times harder. But that's a hard transition, because college life, you know, that's a transition on its own. So, you know, it's a tough thing for those kids to come into college like that.
Well, stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
After a two-day detente, the presidential rivals troop to the VFW in search of the vet vote. And as Romney gets set to jet to London, Jerusalem, and Warsaw, Republicans will have to wait for his Veep. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us with a new trivia question. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with the weather. Partly sunny and windy today, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, and a high of 95. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight with a low of 75. Mostly cloudy tomorrow and a good chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high 82. A chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the low 80s Friday.
and give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to talk with our good friend. We haven't had a chance to talk to him in quite a while, our good friend Terry Foster from the Detroit News. Terry's been on vacation. He's just back, and he's consented to join us on today's edition of Sports Talk 870. So let's bring in our good friend Terry Foster. Terry, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going there, young man?
Okay, good to hear from you. I know we hadn't talked to you in a while. I wanted to get your take basically on what's been going on at Penn State. I know you've heard about it. And do you think that everything they handed down and put on Penn State was justified? Or was it? Or do you think they were too soft? I've heard it from both ends. Some people thought they were too hard on Penn State, and some people thought it was probably soft enough or maybe even too soft.
Well, first of all, let me be a little bit more accurate here, fella. Just got back from Hawaii, so let me just say aloha to everybody. But as far as the Penn State thing is, I thought it was appropriate. I thought they had to find a way to punish Penn State and to punish the people who were involved in that. And that's happening in other areas. But the other thing they had to do is how do you punish the institution and how do you punish football without punishing the other sports? And I'm talking about baseball and volleyball and women's soccer and all that kind of stuff, because they absolutely did not do anything. And as we all know, athletic departments break even because of football. Football pays the freight for everything. And if you took away football and had the death penalty, you're punishing a lot of people. You're punishing the athletes who are not involved in football, but you're also punishing Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, whoever else is on that schedule. Because now, everybody's trying to compete for a national championship. They're trying to compete for Rose Bowls and Sugar Bowls and whatever other bowls. But also, because of the revenue, I think college football feels that they have to play 12 games. Now, you're going to tell me anybody who plays Penn State is only going to have an 11-game schedule. They won't have the same revenue. So, that's to address the people that want the death penalty. And I'm convinced unless the university pulls the bazooka out and starts killing people, we're not going to see the death penalty again. And in many ways, this is worse than the
yes,
death penalty.
Yes, it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty severe. Penn State is now what will become Indiana and Minnesota and teams like that for a while. Mm-hmm. And, they're already losing players and, you're losing scholarships. So this is a pretty significant blow. And I don't understand people say, they got a slap on the wrist. Are you kidding me? This is huge.
It is. I mean, the fact that they're going to have to can only have 65 scholarship players on their roster for the next 4 years. That's really huge, even though they're just knocking off. They say you can't recruit 10 players a year. But still, you've got to hold your roster down to 65. I mean, it's going to take years to recover from that.
Right, and it's not like you're going to get the cream of the crop. And what I've tried to do, I've tried to localize this. Imagine this. Imagine the state of Michigan high school player who dreams of playing for Michigan and Michigan State. But Michigan and Michigan State don't want them because they're not good enough. So they end up going to Ferris and Central and Eastern and places like that. That's who's going to be on their roster now. The kid at Penn State who would die to play for Penn State, but is not good enough to play for them. Just that, just a shade or two below, that's the kid they're going to go. Now, they're going to go out there and they're going to run through walls. They're going to do all that kind of stuff at the bottom line. They don't have the speed. They won't have the size. And they won't have the talent.
Yeah, and that's tragic. But as we know, there are a lot of kids out there like that, and they would do anything. You're right, they'll do anything to play for Penn State, even though they don't have the necessary skills to do that much for them. And that's what we're going to have to watch. And you just wonder how – I mean, that's the thing with O'Brien. He just can't make any mistakes recruiting, can he? He just can't do that, because if he makes a mistake in the recruiting, say maybe he had a couple of guys he should take, and maybe he has one that he takes the one that he shouldn't take, as opposed to maybe the two are that could be decent, or maybe he thinks they're going to be decent. That's always going to be hard for a coach to do in his situation. situation is even going to be worse, you know, if he makes a mistake.
Well, I tell you what, Earl, I'll flip it. He's going to have to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, he's going to have to get that kid that's been in jail, that wants to beat up somebody but has talent, and nobody else wants him, he's going to have to take, and guess what? Yeah. Those are going to be mistakes, but he's going to have to take that gamble on him. Because if he just goes the conventional way and just gets all of those kids who want to overachieve and everything, they'll be losing 56-3 and stuff like that. So he's going to have to take gambles, and when you gamble, you're going to make mistakes. So I think he just has to go for it and, you know, hope that most of these gambles pay off for him.
Yeah, I think, you know, this first year is probably going to be okay. I think most of those guys, it looks like they're going to stay. But after this, the next 2, 3, 4 years after this, that could be some big problems if they don't hang around.
No, absolutely. And that's when they become Indiana and Minnesota and all the other dredges of the Big Ten that we've seen over the years. But, you know, hey, that's the way it is. I mean, when you do what they did and it was a systematic cover-up, I mean, you need to get punished. I'm sorry. And Earl, and I tell you, I'm sick of the people who are saying, well, this was individuals that did this. This wasn't Penn State. You're punishing other people. But you know what, Earl? In every walk of life, it's individuals that do things.
Yep.
When the financial system messed up, well, we're all mad at Merrill Lynch and all those other things. But guess what? Individuals made those decisions. When people didn't want to bail out Chrysler because they don't like Chrysler, well, individuals that made those decisions. I have never seen a building or an institution make a decision on its own. It's people.
Yep.
So you gotta punish the institution because they represented Penn State. That's just, you know, that's the way it is. If you only punish the individuals, then, you know, schools could do anything. You mm-hmm. illegal recruit, whatever. We're not going to get punished, so what's the matter?
That's true. And that's part of the problem with our whole sports world. I mean, like you say, we don't punish the individuals. So, I mean, you know, you have to give it to the schools. And a thing, you have to wait 2 or 3. I mean, you know, the way the system works is you can't punish anybody right away or for a few months after something happens. You know, it takes years. You got to give, you know, if you believe in due process, for those that do believe in due process, you have to give the other person a chance to face the music. And that's what we've seen. But we know a lot of people just would prefer that, you know, you just throw the key away.
Yeah. Look, here's what you have to do. You have to make sure this does not happen again.
Yeah.
Or if it's happening somewhere now, mm-hmm. that the people wake up and say, oh, we got to stop this right away and get this clown out of here and make sure that, kids or whomever are safe. So this is why you come down hard on Penn State. You just don't want it to happen again.
Oh, or for sure.
If that's possible.
Yeah. Yes. I'm thinking that we won't see a situation like this, and especially with a coach like Paterno, who got so much power over the years. I mean, he just got so much power, and really they gave him too much power. And when you stay at one place that long, Terry, I don't think we'll see another coach spend that much time, 30 years at a place or at one institution. I think they'll all be moving around and doing like that. I can't see one coach getting that kind of power for staying in one place for such a long length of time.
Well, you would think that, but I tell you where it could potentially happen. Mm-hmm. Potentially happen to Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, Urban Meyer, I mean, they're just so grateful to be able to, you know, move from Trestle and then get a guy that high profile. Now, I'm not saying that Urban Meyer will allow something like this to happen, but I could see him getting so much power at a place like Ohio State where, hey, it's football, football, and football 365. So I still think it could happen as far as the power thing, but as far as, you know, this whole Joe Pa thing, I'm guessing this is not going to happen for a very, very long time, if ever.
Yes, I mean, I'm with that. I don't think it will, but like you say, you just never know, though. I mean, I don't think it'll happen, but, you know, anyone getting that kind of power like Joe Pa had, it's you know, I don't see how, even if you could get it, how you can avoid not using it, you know?
Right. And the thing I don't understand, and this is before I knew about any of this stuff going on, is, you know, when they wanted him to leave and he refused, tell him to go.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your years. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everything. You're not coaching the team anyway. So let's get somebody in here who's young, with energy and stuff like this. And maybe Penn State, they gotten rid of Paterno earlier, maybe the sanctions wouldn't have been as severe.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing that I concerned about and maybe think, maybe Joe Pa knew a lot of stuff that was going on. If they got rid of him, he's going to spill the beans. And maybe this is one of the things. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's the thing. We definitely will never, you know, the family said they're going to release Cy because they were mad that they accepted the free report as it was and didn't contest it. So I know they're looking into putting out their same one, their report. I mean, yes, they're trying. You understand the family. They're going to try to put Joe Pa in a good light. It doesn't look like that's going to be possible. But, you know, they certainly will, which you understand. You know, people are going to try to make family members and people put them in the best light they can.
Well, let me just say this. The free report was a $6 million, report. This one by the Paterno family is going to probably cost them $50. Forgive me. I'm going to consider the one report a little bit heavier than the other one.
I understand
come
that.
Come on. What are they going to come out with? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Joe Pa knew nothing.
Uh-huh.
It'll be like two pages, handwritten on a legal pad.
Yeah. I know I'm going to be interested to hear what Coach O'Brien says at the Big Ten meetings starting tomorrow. I mean, a lot of people are going in tonight and early to hear what he has to say and what the message he delivers. And it'll be interesting to see if he can keep all the players there. I know that's his goal. That's what he's trying to do, keep as many players as he can. And how many walk-ons do you think Penn State will end up having? There are going to be players who want to walk on, too.
Yeah, dude, but can you even get walk-ons at this late point for this year?
Yeah,
that's on the road. There's going to be a whole bunch. But, you know, I don't know if they're going through the campus and, you know, tackling anybody who's over 6 foot and like 250 or 260 pounds. I don't know. But even that's going to be rough, getting enough walk-ons to help them out.
Oh, that's for sure. Well,
you know what, Earl? In Big Ten meetings, what's the big story? It's going to be Penn State.
Yep.
They're going to be overshadowed.
Yeah, because everybody's going to be asking them about Penn State. I bet some of those coaches will say, hey, how about talking about my team? I got a pretty good team coming back, and I think, you know, you should talk about them. And they say, yeah, we'll talk about them. But first of all, tell us what you think of Penn State.
Yeah, somebody's going to snap at the Big Ten meetings. I just don't know who it's going to be, but
mm-hmm.
We'll see.
How much do you think this hurts the Big Ten as far as the conference? You know, as you know, the Big Ten. I've already talked with our buddy Drew about this. But you know, does that take the Big Ten down a notch? I mean, you've got Ohio State, you've got Penn State in serious trouble, and so you've got two teams not eligible for bowl games this year. How much does that hurt the Big Ten as far as from the national scale? Because you know, the Big Ten has always prided itself as being a national power and being a conference that you were going to respect because they've done things the right way. And lately, some of the top schools in the Big Ten haven't been doing things the right way.
It's a huge blemish.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It would be bigger if Penn State was one of the more original teams. I'm talking about those that were there before 1970. I mean, I still consider them a new blood. But no, it hurts. I mean, you've got a division. Wisconsin, they can come out in their clown pants and win that division. It doesn't matter. So we already got Wisconsin, the Big Ten title game.
Mm-hmm.
Now Michigan State and, you know, all the rest of these teams, they got to kill each other to try to get there. And, you know, Wisconsin's going to be chilling. So it does hurt from a competitive standpoint, reputation, because even though, you know, the Big Ten said, well, you know, we're not as good as the SEC maybe, but they did it with integrity and they weren't bending all these rules, they weren't doing things. And so now Penn State, one of its member institutions, does something beyond illegal recruiting. This was totally ridiculous. And Earl, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure how they're going to punish him, because when you look at the all the NCAA rules, there's no specific rule covering housing a pedophile in the football office. It
right.
just wasn't there because nobody even thought about that.
That's true, and they're still dealing with that. That's for sure, and it's just going to be interesting to see how it all pans out over these next few months and next few years for sure. I mean, Penn State is taking a huge hit. That we are Penn State, that mantra that they always called, that's going to be taking a big hit. Even though we know they'll still say they are Penn State, but they're really not the Penn State that they knew and loved.
No, it isn't. But you know what? And I've read some of the posts that some of the students and some of the Penn State alumni have posted on Twitter and stuff like that. Shameful. Absolutely shameful after the NCAA reports came out. I understand you can be mad, but you don't have to use racism and sexism and, you know, attack gays because you're ticked off by what the NCAA did to your institution. It just shows the ugly side of fans. And I read some of that stuff, and, you know, I would not allow my children to read it. It was just a shame. Awful.
Yeah, and that's a shame. We know we're always going to hear from those people that want to, debase the other program and other schools. And it's just about goes along with the territory these days, Terry.
Yeah, no question. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, we're passionate about sports. I understand it. I get it. But, we need to chill out on some things.
Yes. Well, hey, let's talk about those Lions because, you know, they've released Galbraith today. They already released Aaron Berry. I mean, I just can't understand, Terry, why these players get into so much trouble and time after time or get and put their whole careers in jeopardy. I mean, I'm still waiting. I'm going to be interested because I know somebody wants to give Aaron Berry another chance. But, I want to see who's going to give him a chance and what is Roger Goodell going to do to him. He hasn't had any penalties against him. So I'm sort of curious to see, want to see how this all plays out for him.
Yeah, the thing that I don't understand is, you know, here's a guy that clowns on one roster, but he's going to be allowed to go on another roster.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be some type of league-wide banishment for him because he just doesn't get it. And, his apology was fake.
Yeah.
And, you go out, you get drunk, you get pulled over, okay? Well, you know, I was willing to forgive that. We have this mass shooting in Colorado. 2 days later, you're pointing a gun at somebody and threatening them. Are you serious? And you're an NFL player? You know, everybody listening out there, how many of you would die to be able to run a 4.3 40, to be able to play in this league, to be able to make, get a little 5-year, $25 million contract, or even $1.5 million a year? I think there's a lot of people raising their hands saying, I'll do it. And how about this? I'll let you keep the job. All you got to do is keep your gun in your pocket or keep your gun in your closet and you're in. He couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
After being pulled over for a DUI. How dumb is that?
Very dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Very dumb. I mean, yeah, you know, and you're jeopardizing your whole career. If you have a chance at a long time career, let's say he could do 10 years in the league, he's jeopardizing that chance and I'm making him some good money maybe over the next 10 years if you're good enough.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand. He was a thug. He was involved in gangs. But you've got to be smart enough at age 25, 26, 27 to realize, you know what? I need to step out of this environment. And if you want to get back in it after you've done playing, okay, fine. Go make your money. Then if you want to be a gangbanger, go back and do it now. But it makes absolutely no sense doing this stuff right now. I just can't imagine me. Look, Earl, my job, it's all right. You know, it pays good money. I know with what I've got not to go out there acting a fool. And, well, people say, you're 53, right? Well, I knew to do that, not to do that at 25, 24.
Exactly.
Because I was like, I want to keep my job because I know this. I mess up, I'm gone because I'm not as valuable as an athlete is. So I knew, when stuff was happening, call me a coward, but I would turn around and I would leave.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, and I know, you know, we have to do the right thing to keep our job and to maintain our jobs. But some people just don't, you know, unfortunately, there are some people that just don't get it.
Right. They don't get it, and they'll never get it. Aaron Berry is one of those guys.
And that's a shame. And then they cut Culbreth today. He got cut from the team, and not just because, you know, because he's had a couple of outside of the viewing range what he should do. And he's gotten cut as well. So, you know, these guys, some just don't get it, you know. And like you say, I don't think they ever will get it. But that's, you know, maybe some will get it. If they do get it, it'll be too late.
You know, Goldberg, he got cut because he can't play. So,
yeah.
you know, you can always, oh, they're making a statement. Now, the dude just wasn't any good. Mm-hmm. And even though I kind of, you know, make fun of Jonathan Scott, he is a better player. I'll admit that.
Yeah, well, we'll see what the Lions, they've got a potential to have a good team. I don't know how much they're going to have now in the back end because they've got to find some cornerbacks, of course. So it looks like they're going to be pretty good up front. But, boy, we don't know what the back end's going to hold yet. And that's going to be a challenge for the Lions to fill in the stops at the back of the defense. And hopefully they'll have some people that can play the Pro Bowl caliber because they're certainly going to need that in the back of that defense.
No question they need that. But you know what? We keep saying that the front end is good. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that front end kind of fell apart, too, at the end. So
yeah.
I think they're going to be good. But can they hold up? That's another question that we need to ask.
Yeah, and how much help will – I mean, it looks like that Calvin Johnson is going to have a lot of help, but still we don't know how good they can hold up for the whole year if they can be of good help. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Right. But I don't worry about Calvin Johnson. He the man. So he'll
yeah. –
they can put me out there. He'll still get over 1,000 yards in receiving.
Yeah,
that's how good he is.
That's true. He's a big guy, and receivers are getting bigger. Matter of fact, I asked Andre Rison a few weeks ago, on how he would fare if he got drafted in the NFL today, because everybody wants these big, tall receivers, and that's what they're drafting. And you're seeing bigger and bigger receivers are getting bigger in the league. He thought that he'd still be okay. He thought even if he like where he got drafted, he thinks he could still be good. And he noted how some of the slot receivers that are doing well. So he thinks he could still do good, and maybe he has that kind of talent that separates him from a lot of the other receivers. And even as a small receiver, he would do well in the NFL.
No, Rison would do well in the NFL, even if he was coming out today, but he wouldn't get as much fanfare coming out.
Yeah.
And he would be drafted lower because of his size. So the league is changing.
Yeah, oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. Hey, Terry, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. Can you hold on? We got to take a short break and just keep you for a few more minutes.
I do have to go.
Okay, well,
we have to get ready.
Okay, well, I'll let you go, and I will talk to you later on, my friend.
All right, man. Be good.
Okay, talk to you later, buddy.
Right,
yep, bye-bye. And that's Terry Foster from the Detroit News. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
As widespread drought ruins acre after acre of this summer's corn crop, the USDA expects food prices to jump in this country and many places overseas. The last time that happened in 2008, unrest erupted in the Middle East, Africa, and the Caribbean. I'm Neil Conan, the ripple effect from rising food prices. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Partly sunny and windy today with a chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 95. Tonight's low, 75. Rain and thunderstorms are likely. Mostly cloudy Thursday and a good chance of rain and thunderstorms. Tomorrow's high, 82. A chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday, the high, 81. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to talk more sports with our good friend from Fox Sports Detroit, Rico Beard is with us. And so let's talk with Rico and get his opinions on things. Rico, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl. Yeah, sorry, about that, man. My phone was still on silent.
Okay.
When you tried calling me earlier.
Okay. No problem. But, yeah, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with Penn State. And, of course, the Lions will be opening up camp soon. I know you were disheartened, just like all of us were, on this Penn State deal, you know, that this all happened there. But what do you think is going to – do you think that it's going to, if the players stay, do you think, how good will they be this year? If they can be any good this year, I think they could be okay this year, but I don't know about the rest of the years after this year.
Well, I think this year they'll be okay. They'll be about as good as they were last year.
Okay.
When all of this distraction was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very good Penn State team.
Yeah.
Even if all the distractions weren't there, It's a good team. It's a slightly above average team with poor quarterback play on there. Other than Silas Red, not really a whole lot of desirable people on that team. You know, everybody's right now was really emotional. We're going to stick with Penn State. But I look for that emotion to fade, and I think that reality is going to kick into a lot of those players in the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks. Right now, you'll look like you're turning your back on Penn State if you leave right now. I think only one player may be taken off. But after the emotions die down and the whole rah-rah, rah-rah-ism phase, I think at that point is when you're going to see players leave. And they'll be a decent team next year. And, you know, we're going to do this one. And sad to say, but, you know, they'll still have the mentality, we're going to do this one for Coach. You know, this is what Joe Pye would have wanted. But after that, I think that you're going to start to see a lot of a mass exodus from that team. And it's basically just going to become everybody's homecoming team for the next probably 5-6 years, where it's just going to be an easy victory.
Yes, that's for sure. I was sort of thinking the other day, Rico, that, yeah, as you know, Michigan State and Penn State had that game, that land-grant trophy game, year after year after year. They got out of it, and now I said, they probably would like to have Penn State every year now, as they used to have in the past, but, you know.
Yeah, Michigan State can't catch a break. I mean, you know, the first year they go 11-1 because of a stupid rule they can't go to the Rose Bowl. And last year they would have represented the Big Ten if the rules were the same. But then they had to play in a championship game. And now, you know, you drop Penn State for Indiana. And at the time, everybody thought that you got the better of the deal. Well, wow, you got an automatic W at Indiana. You really got an automatic W at Penn State.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, in hindsight, they probably would have still wanted to play for that land grand trophy. I mean, Wisconsin, I hate to say it, I mean, it's not really a winner in this situation, but Wisconsin and out of conference, the University of Pittsburgh are probably going to be the two biggest beneficiaries of this Penn State fiasco.
Yeah, because when you look at Wisconsin, they don't have Ohio State or Penn State, you know, battling for that division, that get
no,
that share
all
of the division.
All Wisconsin has to do is fight and make sure that they can beat the mighty Indiana, Purdue, and Illinois. And
yep.
Yeah,
they're in. Yeah. Yeah, so they should just walk into the playoffs and say, who are we going to face the next couple of years?
Yeah, Wisconsin, their fans have already booked out Indianapolis solid for at least the next 2 years. Going to be a lot of cheeseheads, a lot of badgers walking around Indianapolis, because they may get somewhat of a challenge from Purdue and maybe a challenge from Illinois, but next year Ohio State can challenge them.
Yeah.
But this year, they're already there.
Yeah, they should be. I mean, if they don't get there this year, we might have to see a new coach in Wisconsin if they don't. I mean, they've just rolled it out. It's really easy pickings for Brett Bielema.
It really is. And you're right. Bielema should just be flat out fired. If he can't get Wisconsin to represent the leader's division, just flat out fired. I mean, realistically, all you have to do is win 3 games and you're in against 2 mediocre teams and 1 bad team. That's it. You could lose to Penn State. You could lose to Ohio State, and it won't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You could neither one of them can afford to go. All you got to do is beat Purdue, Illinois, Indiana, ball game.
at that point, you can rest Monty Ball for the rest of the season and just get prepared for the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. I mean, they've got everything set up perfectly for them. Well, when you look at the rest of the Big Ten, as we see on that other side, Michigan, Michigan State, and Nebraska will be doing the battling for the title on that side, and that's probably going to be will be the top three for the next three or four, maybe even 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight race in the Legends Division.
Mm-hmm.
I still say that the Legends Division will come down to the winner of the Michigan-Michigan State game in Ann Arbor on October 20th. Nebraska, good team, but I'm not sold on Taylor Martinez. I'm just not.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's going to have to improve his play a lot, that's for sure. If they're going to be competitive, he just has to play better.
He is. To me, he makes Denard Robinson look like John Elway. I mean, he's just a bad quarterback. He's a good runner. He's
yep.
a bad quarterback. I'm not sold. They get the luxury of playing Michigan at Lincoln, and they have to come to MSU. So that's why I say if Michigan State can go on the road and defeat Michigan at home, I think that would give them the leg up, and they would own all the tiebreakers between the two other schools.
Yeah, we know it's going to be hard for Michigan State this year to go on the road and win one. They've won 4 in a row. To win 5 in a row, that's going to be asking a lot. Of course, this is Brady Hoke's second year. He seems like he's got that program more together. You've probably seen some of the same ratings that I've seen. A lot of people are favoring Michigan to win that game between Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah, I saw the rankings too, and I shook my head because I didn't see why Michigan. They'll be a good team. I think it's undeservingly to put them as high as they have. I think they're putting a lot on Denard Robinson.
Yeah.
And I think they're getting the benefit of the doubt of the fact that they're Michigan. Kind of like every year, Notre Dame is always highly overrated coming into the season.
True.
Just because they're Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is Michigan falling, that the writers fell for this. Well, this is Michigan. This is a good team. I don't think that this is a top 10 team. You're losing entirely too much on their defense, and they're expecting a lot out of their defensive line, replacing Mike Barton, Brian Van Bergen, with Will Campbell and Nathan Brink. Will Campbell, who came in with all the accolades, just hasn't performed. Nathan Brink, a walk-on kid who let's face it, he's cracked the starting lineup. That tells you that all your scholarship athletes that you brought in aren't good enough. So I think that they're off, and their offensive line, though they've been with the program for a long time, but there's a lot of inexperience on that line. So, and not a lot of depth behind them, Earl. If any of those people get injured, you're looking at what could be the downfall of Michigan. And I got them probably around 8-4, 7-5 if they stumble over a game they shouldn't. But I think that Michigan should probably end up the season around 8-4.
Okay. Hey, we got a caller for you on the line. Let's go to Atlanta. We got Mr. Tate on the line. Mr. Tate, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just appreciate you for taking my call. I was pretty much listening to the topic and a couple of things that you guys were discussing and whatnot as far as the Wolverines, whatnot. I just kind of feel like even when you were talking about firing the head coach of Wisconsin and stuff like that, I just think that at the end of the day, you know, regardless of whatever Big Ten team it is, as me being a Big Ten, diehard Big Ten guy, of course, Michigan State, we have to get it done at the end of the day, even if, you know, the opportunity at realistically contending for a national championship, in which everybody knows Wisconsin was, what, like between the two games that they lost, between the Michigan State and Ohio State, it was Wisconsin. But nevertheless, I think that we just have to get it done, man. Even if it's not a national championship game, the bowl record is terrible. I mean, we can go back and forth and argue oranges for apples as far as, you know, who's going to be the guy this team, you know, this coach gets fired from this team and so on and so forth. But even if we do have to settle for these roll bowls or these cotton bowls or orange bowl, whatever the case may be, we have to get it done. And our record in bowl games are really not even all that great, even outside of playing big-time SEC schools, in which we know Michigan State did defeat Georgia last year in Tampa. But I just think that we have to get it done at the end of the day. As much as I hate Michigan, I do see them beating Michigan State. That's a lot for me to even say, to even come out of my mouth. But nevertheless, I do think that Michigan will probably be that premier Big Ten team this season. Thank you for having me on, Mr. Robinson, and I'll keep listening.
Okay, thank you. He made some good points there, Rico.
He does. I mean, bottom line, Michigan State has to win, and they got to go out there and take it. If Michigan State wants to get respect, they have to go out there. They have to win games. And they got to go out and win their bowl games. I think that's why you're seeing a little of the national respect in this offseason, because they did go and beat a SEC team in Georgia. So, yeah, if you want that, you know, be given the benefit of the doubt like Michigan has, you got to go out there and you got to earn it, regardless of how easy the path is for Wisconsin or anything like that. I guess I don't see it the same as he does, as the caller does, with Michigan. So long as Narduzzi and that defense is there, I think that they can beat Michigan. This is the team that Denari Robinson has yet to have a good game against. And I don't see Narduzzi and Will Golston and that defense letting up at the Big House in Ann Arbor. I think they're going to come with the same type of tenacity that they have, and every time Denari Robinson is taking a snap.
Yes, that's right. I'm like you. I think it's going to be a very competitive game. I'm hoping that Michigan State can come through, but you know we'll just have to wait and see. Michigan has played them well in some of these games these past 4 years. Some they haven't played so well, but Michigan State has been the king for these last 4 years. We know how badly the players and their fans want to end this four-game winning streak. So we'll just have to wait and see. Right now, I would probably do like you and favor Michigan State to win. We'll see what happens. Cause, you know, as you know, there's always so many injuries we're going to have during the year. So hopefully they can stay healthy and Michigan State can field a good team and play a good game against them. But we'll definitely have to wait and see how many injuries they have, because every year you're going to have some serious injuries.
Yeah, I think Michigan State can win. I mean, you don't want anybody to ever get injured, but I think that the only position that would really rock them to the core if they were injured would be the quarterback. I think they got enough depth at every other position that they could hold their own, including running back. If Le'Veon Bell goes down, I think Caper and Nick Hill could do a fine job. Andrew Maxwell is probably the one guy who, if he goes down, you may see your season start going down with.
Yeah, because that's it. We'll have to see how Andrew Maxwell. We didn't get a chance to see him in the spring game, so hopefully, you know, he'll be as good as they've been built, and we've been hearing a lot about Andrew Maxwell. Of course, that's all we get is positive stuff. So if he has been doing anything bad, we haven't heard about it. But everything we've heard has been certainly very good on Andrew Maxwell.
It has, and I think that's where the skepticism comes in, because he didn't play in the spring game, so. Outside of the walls of East Lansing, no one knows anything about Maxwell.
Yep, that's true. Hey, Rico, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and I'll be talking with you later on as we get into practice and how Michigan State practicing. And next time, we'll talk more about the Detroit Lions. We got to get into them, because as they start their training camp tomorrow. So always good to talk to you, Rico, and I will talk to you again real soon, my friend.
All right, thanks, Earl. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Talking Sports with Rico Beard right here on AM 870 and also with Terry Foster. I want to thank them for joining me. Tomorrow and Friday, you'll hear from our good friend Scott Moore, the voice of Michigan State Hockey. He'll be setting in for me the next 2 days. So make sure you tune in for Scott Moore right here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So if you haven't been listening or haven't been calling, make sure you do that. Just come in, give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and we'll hear from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. WKAR East Lansing. Tune in for Scott Moore. We'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.